Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Hollering, Steve Frampton, Brenda McCoy, and Bobby Marcheso. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello, my name is Brenda Matarazzo. Brenda McCoy, also known as Lady Brenda, and you are listening to The Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In a moment, we'll be talking to Lisa Whitehead, who will be speaking to us about her book and philosophy of Get a Life. Before we get started, please join me in welcoming my co-hosts. Maureen, how are you doing this night?
Fine. So you changed your last name.
You know what? That was like a, you know what? I had a brain fart there. What was that all about? You know, Freudian. Menopause is really a biatch. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Maybe this is subconscious.
There was some Freudian slip. Wow.
There was, you know.
Who are you?
Yeah. Maybe I'm just rejecting this whole mantle of marriage.
That's hilarious. Okay. I'm fine. Well, I'm actually, yes, no one needs to know my true business. I'm doing great. Thank you.
Tell us about what you do, Maureen.
I am an intuitive, empathic, psychic advisor, consultant. And I work with tarot cards. They're my main tool. And I help people help themselves. And I work at Psychic Access along with my co-host. Well, there you have it. You're welcome.
Know that Maureen is a true authentic tarot card reader.
Thank you.
True authentic. Now, okay. Steve.
Good evening. I'm doing very well, thank you.
Yes. And so tell us about what you do.
I'm a psychic medium, so I sense people that are in spirit, whether they're guides or people that we've known here on the earth plane that have passed to spirit. And I'm also a hermetic astrologer, interested in all forms of metaphysics, really, but I'm not an expert on tarot as you and Maureen are, although that's on my study list for the future.
Well, thank you, Steve.
You're welcome.
And then myself, I am a predictive psychic, and I specialize in precise on-target predictions, dates, times, and places. I use the tarot, the crystal ball, and the playing cards. And I work with you lovely, with my lovely co-hosts on PsychicAccess.com. Tonight, we're going to be talking to Lisa Whitehead, who is a sole purpose coach and mentor with many years' experience in understanding people and how they grow and develop. She is the author of Get a Life. I love that title because, you know, it's really appropriate for stuff that's going on right now. People just really need that. An inspirational self-help book designed to get in touch with their own individual soul purpose. For over 20 years, Lisa has worked within blue chip organizations such as the Sears Group, the Boots Company, and the Barclays Bank before taking the leap of faith to follow her heart and be true to her own soul purpose. She's a natural intuitive and a highly qualified therapist, which enables her to really connect with her clients, understanding each person as a whole. Lisa truly engages people to do what their heart makes their heart sing and their spirits soar. For more information on Lisa, you can visit her website at www.getalife-uk.co.uk. Hello and welcome, Lisa.
Hello. Thanks very much for having me on the show.
I'm excited about it. We really need some upbeat information here.
Good. Well, hopefully I can provide that for you.
Okay, so you've written a book called Get a Life, and can you explain what inspired you to write this book?
Well, you know, from being a very little girl, I always felt that I was a storyteller, even in what we would call infant school or primary school. I used to be the child that wanted to be in the choir, reading stories to the even smaller children. And so I always, I guess, felt I had a story to tell. And over many years, I would keep I'd keep a diary, a journal. And I even started to write an autobiography. And everybody kept saying to me, you know, you must write a book. And Get a Life came about really as a result of I write a regular blog. And out of that, people seemed to get a lot from it. And out of that, I guess, grew the book Get a Life, that became a little bit of a guidebook. So it is a little bit like a blog style. It's very short and snappy, but people seem to respond to that. And that's how it came alive, really. And it manifested itself from that.
So it's a, well, you know, a lot of people aren't into reading long things now, but I have, you know, I've heard in the publishing world that self-help books are really on the rise right now. People are really seeking them out. And so what makes yours different? Tell us a little bit about what's in Get a Life. Are these stories about stuff that happened, or these methods that you have come up with for a person to find their soul purpose in life?
Well, I wanted it to be something that anybody could pick up and get something from, not just spiritual people like ourselves, really to be able to touch everyone's heart, whether you weren't spiritual, whether you were spiritual, no matter what your beliefs were, that you could just pick it up and get something from it. So in the book are short chapters, and it's very observational for writing. So you could say it was channeled in a way, in that I would ask for guidance each day or each week whenever I was writing to say, What would be most helpful to the readers today? What should I write about? And the messages would come, and they would come in the form of what I saw in front of me. So, for example, one chapter is called Nice Weather for Ducks. And that came as a result of driving to the post office, because I live in the middle of a village in the middle of nowhere, so I have to drive to a post office. So driving to the post office to mail a letter, and en route I saw a duck sat by the side of the road. And so that was the message in terms of a totem to write that particular chapter. Or another day, I was writing one of my favourite chapters in the book, which is called Love Your Shoes. And again, I asked for guidance. Sometimes I'd use an oracle card, and sometimes I'd just take the guidance directly. Again, I was sitting down with my little netbook thinking, right, what shall I write today? And I happened to look down at my little sandals that I'd taken off and just cast to one side. And on the inside of the shoe, it said, Love Your Shoes. And again, that then stimulated the chapter for the day. So it's very observational. It's as it came to me, as the messages came to me. And then I wrote what flowed and what came.
What was the message of Love Your Shoes? Inquiring minds want to know, because us women love our shoes.
Well, yeah, I have quite a collection of shoes myself. Well, Love Your Shoes is about loving where you are and how you're stepping out right now. And so it does talk about literal shoes as well, but it asks you to think about, you know, it's all right kind of saying, well, I want to be in their shoes. I want to be in this situation or that situation, or when this happens, things will be great. But actually, if you love your shoes where you are right now, metaphorically speaking, you know, you can start from where you are. No matter where you are is a good place to start. The other thing is to think about if your physical shoes are uncomfortable, what does that say about your soul? Where are you trying to fit into something that just isn't you? So where are you trying to fit into somebody else's song sheet as opposed to being true to your own soul and spirit? And I also ask people at the end of every chapter to consider a couple of little questions or to do a little exercise. And I know one of the little questions at the end of Love Your Shoes is to ask people, if you were a pair of shoes, what would you be? And what does that say about your soul? It's quite fun.
Well, I know I would probably be some high heels. 8-inch heels. Maybe I like to make things difficult for myself.
Well, there you go. So it's, I mean, you know, I would kind of, if I was working with somebody in terms of a soul purpose coach and I was asking that question, I'd probably ask just that question: what does that mean to you? What does that say to you? What does that say to you about your soul? But you know, there's also, you can look at it in terms of a symbolic point of view, that, you know, what does that say about you? Are you in your strong feminine power? So there's lots of symbology in there as well.
Oh, interesting. So for our audience, our listening audience, can you define, give us the definition of a soul purpose? Because there's people that don't know what that might mean.
Well, for me, it means, what are you here to do? What's your purpose? And, you know, are you being on purpose, or are you just running about doing tasks, chores, day in, day out, and not really truly feel that you are fulfilling that your reason for being here on earth? And I believe that we all have a purpose to fulfill. And that might, you know, to be, it might be to be a light worker, it might be to be a guide, it might be to help others, but that might take all sorts of forms in terms of a physical job. So, for example, you may be here to really help and counsel others along their journey, but that could just as easily be done at, you know, at the mall, in a shop, on the checkout, if you're really truly connecting with every individual that passes through your checkout. Or it could be, you know, as a psychic, or as a counsellor, or even as a nurse or a doctor. So it's not about the physical job. It's about your purpose and reason your soul has incarnated this time around. What's the purpose? You know, what are you here for? What are you here to learn, and what are you here to give?
Well, that sounds very interesting, because especially nowadays, people don't make a whole lot of their jobs, and they don't do their best in their jobs. They take the view as that their job is just something that's here for now, but they've got other plans.
Well, it's really interesting, isn't it? I mean, I do a lot of workshops as well, and I talk about, are you doing a job, a J-O-B, just over, broke, too much month left at the end of the money? Or are you doing, you know, are you waking up every day and being called to a vocation? And a vocation doesn't have to be, you know, some CEO of some major company. You know, a vocation is from the word vocare, which is a calling, to be called to. So, you know, are you doing something that is making your heart sing and your spirit soar? Or are you doing, you know, the J-O-B, just over broke?
Just over broke. Well, you know, that definitely, you know, there's so many people that are living from paycheck to paycheck. And it, doing the counseling that you do, and in light of what's happening in the world today with the JOBs, with the jobs and the lack thereof and stuff, what message could you give people who are searching now? I mean, they're kind of in a panic mode. They're ready to just take anything. I mean, what would be your message for them to draw something truly fulfilling to them?
Well, you know, it may be that their purpose shows up in terms of their day-to-day work, or it may be that their purpose shows up in another way. So it may show up in volunteering, it may show up in their hobbies. So, you know, we all need to live, put food on the table and a roof over our head. But I would say to people, you know, try to do that. No, I won't say try. There's a great quote that I actually use with a lot of my clients whenever they say, I'm going to try to do that, Lisa. It comes from the, you know, the Star Wars trilogy, from the film The Empire Strikes Back, if you remember that.
Oh, yes.
And the wise master Yoda says, do or do not. There is no try. So, you know, you can't just try it something. You're either doing it or you're not. So I would suggest that people choose to be joyful each day. You know, I ask a series of questions at the end of the day to say, you know, what have I given today? You know, whom have I loved today? How has today, you know, added to the quality and the warmth and the fulfillment of my life? So even if somebody's in a job that they're not particularly happy in, or they're searching for any old job, you know, it is a choice. You can do that joyfully. You can choose your attitude towards that. And if you're really doing something that you really dislike, then, you know, yes, look to create something else. Yes, you know, I do believe in the law of attraction. So, you know, your thoughts do become things. So if you focus on the negative, you're just going to bring more negative into your awareness. However, if you even look for the most positive aspect of the work that you're doing, even if it's the smallest, tiniest little bit, and you focus on that, you'll become aware of more and more to be grateful for. So, you know, having an attitude of gratitude is really important. And, you know, a lot of people out there, you know, they still strive to have more than the people next door, you know, keeping up with the Joneses, as we would say here in the UK. It's not all about that. It's about being grateful for whatever you do have. And even if times are really, really tough, really, really tough, even if you can only be grateful that you found a pair of matching socks in the morning, then that's one thing to be grateful for. Even if you managed to put dinner on the table tonight, then that's to be grateful for. And the more that you count your blessings, the more blessings will come to you. So yes, it can be tough. Yes, it can be challenging in today's economic climate. But you know, some of the happiest, most fulfilled people in the world have very little.
Well, that's so definitely a good point taken. I love that the analogies that you made about giving back and being grateful, because we overlook that. I mean, that's the flat truth. We overlook that. We're focused on, you know, how can I do this better? How can I make more money? How can I do this? And how can I? But we have to give back. From what I'm gathering, it's all about giving back to the universe, and that's a really wonderful message. And I would encourage, you know, people to really take that to heart here, wouldn't you?
Oh yeah, absolutely, for sure. Because I think that the more that you show gratitude, the more that you give with a servant's heart, without expectation of reward, you know what happens? You do get that reward, and tenfold. But if you always give in with a condition, as opposed to loving and giving unconditionally, then you're kind of always setting up the universe to give you a certain something, and you might not notice all of the wonderful abundance that's flowing your way. If you give without an expectation of return, you know, the abundance will just flow to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the ways that an individual person can, you know, discover their own soul purpose? I mean, are there methods? I mean, like a past life regression or meditation, or then you mentioned a little bit earlier in the interview, maybe it's something that they're interested in, like their hobbies or something like that. How would you recommend that a person who's really searching, because there's a lot of people out there searching and they're of all ages.
There's several exercises that I use. I mean, there's sometimes we may have more than one route that takes us to our purpose. You know, we might be hitting on our purpose when we're in our 20s. It may actually take us till we're in our 80s. You know, there's some great people in history that have really only truly found their purpose when they've got into their 70s and 80s. But there's a couple of exercises that I do. A very simple one is to think about what you really loved to do as a small child up to the age of about 7. So, you know, in the main, I can't speak for everybody because some people do have difficult childhoods, and that's kind of, I always say that up front. But in the main, when we're small children, we don't have the baggage of adult life, not having to think about paying bills, paying the mortgage, you know, paying the rent, paying, you know, we don't have to have all of those concerns. So as a small child, we can be completely free to be our true selves, you know, that sparkling soul that's within. So if you recall what your favorite toys, favorite pastimes were as a child, there's some great clues in there. And whenever I'm speaking or I'm doing workshops, I give the example of the things that I like to do as a small child. So as a small child, I would play with fuzzy felt. I don't know if you have that in the US, but fuzzy felt
is
like...
That?
It's like little pieces of felt that kind of stick to one another, and you can make up pictures and scenes. And I always used to like the farmyard fuzzy felt so that I could create great vistas, landscapes out on the horizon. There would always be rolling hills, there would always be sunshine, and there would always be rainbows. The second thing that I always say to people, I used to play with dollies like Cindy and Pippa and Barbie, but I always took their clothes off. They were always stripped bare. I know what you think.
They were always naked.
Maybe have had a certain vocation in life. But what these two things tell you is that I want to create beauty for everyone. Those rainbows symbolize to me the bridge between heaven and earth. So I want to create heaven on earth. I want to be able to help people to see their vision, to see their future, which brings in some of the intuitive work, but it also brings in some of the soul purpose work. The fact that I had all of these dollies and I never had clothes on them, I always stripped them bare. It's a little bit like the film Avatar, you know, when they say, I see you. I want to see people. I want to make a soul connection. I want to take all away the gloss, the trappings. I want to see who they are at heart. So that gives you great clues into the work I was born to do, which is what I do. So if you think about that for yourself and start to make some comparisons and some parallels, it will tell you whether you're moving towards or away from who you are at heart.
That's very interesting. Well, I'll tell you mine, and maybe you can analyze mine. I was obsessed with horses. I had stuffed horses. I had plastic horses. Those were my dolls.
Okay. So for me, obviously, there's a great affinity with nature and with animals. I'm sure that you like riding and anything to do with horses, you know, on a practical level. But horses as well for me symbolize journeying. So whether that's journeying yourself, metaphorically speaking, or helping people to follow their journey, to keep on their path. And I would imagine that that is very much what you do with your intuitive work. So it's maybe you even do journey work. I don't know. So it would be around that journey and holding hands with people and supporting them along their journey.
That's interesting. Well, we're going to have to, I'm going to have to ask my co-hosts what they did. Let's ask Steve what he did when he was a child. Steve, are you there?
I didn't play with dolls. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah, I can hear you.
Hi. I didn't play with dolls, but I did play with fuzzy felts.
Oh, right. You like fuzzy felt too. And what was your favourite fuzzy felt?
I like the farm fuzzy felts as well.
Ah, interesting. And what pictures did you create with yours?
I used to just create pictures of landscapes. I do love nature. I was raised in North Wales, so I love the countryside. But as a kid, I was also really interested in life after death. As young as I can remember, I remember when my mother's father passed before I was born, but I remember she was crying. I was about 5 years old, and I said, well, granddad's okay, you just can't see him in physical form. So I was always really interested in metaphysics and poltergeists, and I liked to learn and ask questions, which is very characteristic of me now. And I love what you say, because I do feel that we go through the process of acclimatizing to society, our cultures, schools, families, and sometimes we lose touch with our own truth. And I think it's a fantastic technique to say to somebody, go back to when you were a kid, when you didn't have worries and commitments. Who were you? What were you like? What did you enjoy? It's a brilliant way of connecting somebody with who they truly are.
It's interesting, because whenever I do talks or workshops, the energy in the room, I get people to talk to others in the room about what their favourite pastimes and toys and playtimes were when they were small children. And without exception, every time the energy in the room just raises and the joy in the room raises. So it's really interesting that when we reconnect with that energy, you can see that it's almost like the pilot light of our spirit kind of goes on to full blast. So it's just joyful to watch. And, you know, I do have people that they get tears in their eyes, because it feels like they're reconnecting, like they're going home to who they are. So it's a lovely technique to use.
It is. And I loved what you said about being happy in your shoes. I remember the president of my spiritualist church in Brighton, had breast cancer, and she was away for a while having surgery and recuperating. And when I saw her, I thought, oh, I must go up to Joan and say, oh, how are you, Joan? And I went up to her and said, how are you? And she said, oh, I'm wonderful. I said, well, Joan, I know you've had a really hard time. She said, no, it's been wonderful. And I thought, this lady's grateful that she had breast cancer. And I said, Joan, what do you mean? And she said, I didn't realize how much everyone loved me. And now I do.
It was the most wonderful experience. There's always a gift. There is always a gift, even in the most difficult situations. Really, there is always a gift.
Absolutely.
Well, let's hear from Maureen. Maureen, inquiring minds want to know what you did when you were little.
I was crazy.
What did you play with?
You know, the Ouija board was my favorite board game. I know. Well, that's what I have regard for now. You know, I came from a really large family, whereas there was like the first set of three kids that were born, you know, and then 5 years between my brother, the third child, and myself, and then like boom, 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 three, you know, us three. So I was like the oldest of the second group. And so what I did was try to run away from having my sister pal around with me. I'm sorry. No, and there was a lot of money in my, I grew up in this family with material well-being, but what I do remember the best thing I did, though, if I was playing with anything, was the troll dolls. I loved my troll dolls. Troll dolls from the 60s were the coolest. And also, you know, my father was a avid yacht sailor, you know, as a hobby, was some great hobby, you know, sailing off to Hawaii and Mexico and all over. And so, but we would go over in the boat, and I remember what we did, what the loveliest thing we did was, you know, jumping in the water and playing, and the dolphins would just, you know, swim with us around and such like that. But, you know, there was a lot of craziness going on when I was growing up, too. So, you know, you're talking, it's not that there was abuse or anything, but I there was stress, too. So sometimes when I try to reflect back, I do know that I was hard, it was hard for myself to be conditioned. And I'm actually glad, because I wasn't supposed to be, because it's true. By the time, I guess, we're around 10, you know, all the magic stuff kind of goes. It's because we get conditioned and such. So
I love the fact that you played with troll dolls, because if you look at troll dolls, they're a little bit wacky. They're a little bit alternative. There's a magical quality about them. They're like a fairy tale sort of character, aren't they? So that tells me that you're greatly imaginative and creative, and obviously the Ouija board, I think it speaks for itself that you want to communicate. In fact, that you've got this great desire to communicate with all, whether they're here in the physical or whether they're in the spiritual. So this communication comes out very strongly, but this kind of magical, childlike, playful, creative quality. So that expression of the troll dolls, which is, you know, championing the alternative, championing something that's a little bit different, a little bit off the wall, and almost kind of saying that, you know, it's okay to be wacky, and actually almost being a champion for that.
Thank you. You know, that's nice. I wish my family was embracing my wackiness so much.
Do you know, I went from a corporate clone to a tree-hugging nut, but that's fine. In fact, that is going to be the title of my next book, From Corporate Clone to Tree-Hugging Nut.
Oh,
and my dad says
that
I'm a tree-hugging nut, but he loves me anyway.
That does sound like great. Yeah, that's fine. That's cool. That sounds like a great title to a book, actually, yes.
Yeah.
I wish I would have kept my troll dolls. You know, those things are classics. I'm talking about the ones, you know, in the 60s.
I know, the ones, the little tiny ones. Remember the little mini ones with the blue and pink hair and all that?
Yeah, I like the bigger ones. Those things are collectible.
They are, those really big ones, and they were rock hard. I mean, you could hurt somebody with one of them.
And from what I recall, the troll dolls had very large eyes as well in comparison to the rest of their face, which has got all sorts of symbolism for me in terms of, you know, what you see as a seer, also the vision that you have as a visionary, but there's also, you know, even more esoteric and more sort of links with those large eyes in terms of, you know, out there in space as well. But I could go on for hours. Lots of symbolism in there with troll dolls. Lots of symbolism.
But actually, I hadn't thought about that until I'm actually glad you asked that question. That was nice to reflect back on that. Yeah. It's something I do every day. So it gives me a smile on my face. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Maureen, for sharing that. I had forgotten about those troll dolls. I used to have them, too. Mine didn't have any clothes. Never had clothes. But I don't think the trolls had clothes.
No, I don't remember clothes. They're bare-ass naked.
So, Lisa, you talked a little bit about color coding. I'm really, really, kind of interested in that whole color coding thing, that concept that you had, on your website. And is that one of the methods that you use to, kind of show a person their soul purpose or where they're heading?
Yeah, I mean, I've worked with color over many years as a therapist. I look at the symbolism of color and the more esoteric symbolism of color. But the color coding, the color code of life, is very helpful for people, especially people that aren't overly spiritual either, because it's a very simple system for them to understand. It's actually based on ancient philosophers, and it's also based on Jungian psychology. So it's more sort of cerebral clinical end in some respects. So we are predominantly made up of four personality types, four colours, four humours, four elements, and it's kind of looking at how that plays out and how our energy shows up through that. So, when I'm talking to somebody who's quite spiritual, I can talk about the more energy, the energy in terms of the chakras, in terms of, their personality traits, and how that energy might show up in the life. When I'm talking to somebody that's non-spiritual or not, I mean, we're all spiritual beings having a physical existence, but somebody who's not consciously more spiritual, shall we say, I can talk about it in terms of four distinct personality types that comes from Jungian psychology. So it's really, really useful. We're all made up of all of these four colours, which are red, yellow, green and blue. But we will have predominant traits.
Primary colors?
Sorry, say again.
Are those the primary colors?
Yes, they are. And in this system, you're predominantly made up of more or less these colors. So, for example, if you think of the yellow, which is the air element, it's that bright sunshine. It's somebody who's vivacious, imaginative, creative, expressive, playful, joyful. The red would be somebody who's a fire element. So if you think of that Aryan trait, that very assertive, forceful, focused, driving forward type of energy. Blue is the water element. And it's also somebody who's very detailed, very analytical, very deep. And the green is the earth element. So somebody who's very nurturing, involving, somebody who creates that sense of family and earthiness and being encompassed within a group. So you will see by what people wear, the words that they use, and how their energy shows up, what their predominant personality energy is, or predominant energies are. And what's really useful about that is it helps people to go, yeah, do you know what? That's me, and it's okay to be me, instead of trying to be something else, trying to be what society or cultural confines say they should be. This says, this is you, and do you know what? This is okay to be you. And somebody who's got more predominantly red or more predominantly blue, that's them, and that's how they're going to show up. And actually, then it helps the communication. It helps the understanding of, well, yeah, you're like that, and that's perfect because you're just as you're meant to be, and I'm like this. And how can we best connect with each other, because we are different? So it kind of bridges that gap. Instead of differences, we look for similarities and look at where we can actually connect with other souls. So it's just a different way of viewing it, and it's really, really interesting and useful. There'll be no surprises that my predominant energies are yellow. I'm 90% yellow. Don't know if you could have guessed that. And I'm also 88%
you know what?
Green.
All I could see was the color yellow when you were talking.
Yes. So when I'm doing this type of thing, when I'm talking, when I'm speaking, when I'm presenting, my very strong yellow energy comes up. But when I'm working as a therapist, when I'm working one-to-one with people, you'll see that green energy come forward very strongly. I've got about 10% blue, so don't ask me to do accounts. It's my worst nightmare. And I've got about 30% red, so I can be focused and assertive, but it tends not to be my natural energy. It's just interesting. Oh, it's interesting
that's
stuff.
That's interesting. It is. So is it like a horoscope? It feels almost like it. I mean, it's not as detailed as a horoscope chart, but it could be added on to any of these metaphysical types of modalities, like, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
It would be colorology. Would this be something that would be encompassed in colorology?
It could be. It could be. I think, you know, when you go into colorology or color therapy or art therapy, there's much more depth, which I have looked into and worked with myself. One of my great friends, who's a beautiful karmic astrologer and a color therapist, you know, has given me depth in that knowledge. But, you know, when I kind of learned this technique, there were some people that just take it as it is, take it as rote, and that's it for them. But for me, I thought, well, I can see this that layers on to crystal therapy. This layers on to the four elements. This layers on to so many different esoteric modalities that I could see that this was a wonderful tool that kind of, it was almost like a bolt-on that gave more depth to any one of those. So it can stand on its own in terms of a technique or a modality, or it can very much sit in there with, you know, it could sit in there with understanding symbolism. It could sit in there with understanding oracles. There's so many applications of it. I just think it's great fun and it's really useful.
It sounds really fascinating. Well, we're going to talk more about this, but we've got to pause for like a 1 minute commercial. Okay.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
Okay. So we were talking about color therapy and colorology, and it's very fascinating. I wonder what I wear all black all the time. What do you think about that, Lisa?
Well, you see, for me, I do a lot of that. I kind of look at what people are wearing and see what energy that brings. It's like a cloak. It hides a little bit for me. It hides a little bit of who you are. So you only let people see a certain amount of your energy and who you are. I can still see a very yellow energy poking through that black that you wear, but you know, it is interesting the colors that we're drawn to wear as well. You know, I do a lot of work in when I'm actually doing one-to-one therapy, we'll talk about the colors that people are wearing, and you know, it's really funny. You know, I'll bump into some clients of mine in the street and they say, oh no, you've caught me wearing gray.
Oh, that is so funny, because I'm serious. I my wardrobe is almost 99% black, but then all of my belly dance costumes are like the rainbow colors.
Right.
So it's interesting.
Where your true personality shows. But you know, when it's like a cloak, and you only let people see that glimpse.
Secretive.
Of your personality, probably when you're dancing.
Do you feel that there's now? Do you use astrology in your work at all?
I've got a keen interest in it. As I say, my best girlfriend, who's another Lisa, is a karmic astrologer. She works with fixed stars. So she works with a certain, I mean, she can do mundane astrology, and by mundane astrology, I mean the type of stuff that mainstream astrologers do, not as in it's boring. So she can do mundane astrology, but she very much works with the old Egyptian type forms of fixed stars, which is absolutely fascinating. And she does a series of reports called the Awakening Reports, which sit beautifully with the soul purpose work that I do. So it looks at it from an astrology point of view, saying, you know, what is your soul purpose? And actually, what are some of the symptoms that you might experience, both in mind, body and spirit, if you're drifting away from that path? So I work very closely with the other Lisa. If people want that input into the soul purpose work, that's a perfect way to access that. I would draw Lisa in on that. But you know, I also one of my key modalities as a therapist is reflexology, and I also read the feet, so pedomancy or solstry. And you know, your feet can give you so many clues as to whether you are living on purpose or whether you're just doing day in, day out. You know, the soul is a reflection of the soul, and it's simply like reading a book.
So there just is, like there the palm. I have I know people read. I read palms. You know, obviously I can't do it, you know, when we're doing phone readings. But in my office and with my private clients, I read palms, and I have since I was like 14 years old. But the reading of the feet, and I've never known anybody that reads the feet. Now, is there like a lifeline and a heart line and a head line on the foot?
Well, it's similar. It is similar in that the areas of the feet, the whole body's mapped out on the feet. So from a reflexology point of view, so you've got areas of the feet that represent different parts of the body, but then that also layers on in terms of the emotions that are attached to that organ or the energies that are attached to that chakra. So, but you know, there are certain lines in certain places or discolorations or hard skin or all these types of things that will give you indications. You know, different toes represent different parts of your personality. The left and the right foot, represent the past and the future or now, the male and the feminine energies. So, you know, it's like layer upon layer upon layer. Different areas of the feet represent, you know, different emotions as well. So it's just like, it's quite complicated in terms of that it layers upon layers, and you've got all of the information from reflexology, and you've got all the information from solstry or pedomancy.
That sounds interesting, because all the spots are like the kidney and the adrenals and all that kind of stuff is in the foot.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. That's quite right. And so if, for example, there are that I'm being drawn to, say, the kidney, or there's some lack of energy there, you know, tuning into that individual person's energy, or working, as you know, in a mediumistic way, depending what comes. If it was a kidney area, it may be that I was picking up about some unshed tears, some bereavement, or some loss, or some fear, because that the kidneys is the seat of fear and unshed tears. But, you know, actually when I've got somebody in front of me and I'm working with their energy, a bit like when you're on the phone and you're doing a card reading, you can't do that with the feet. Although you can read the feet in terms of a picture, but it's much more accurate actually when they're there in front of you and you're actually working with their energy and touching their feet. Or, you know, you're getting messages from spirit about exactly what that issue is around the kidneys. And that might be manifesting itself physically in terms of waterwork issues. It may not. It may just be holding somebody back because they've not let go of somebody and they've got tears that are unshed. But it may give specific information as to who that person is and what the issue was about. And that's literally how it pieces together within the feet.
That is so interesting. Now, I know a little about reflexology, because I took a class in reflexology, and I know that when you rub or you put, you know, you manipulate the areas of the different, you know, that represent the parts of the body. I'm not just going to use something like the adrenals maybe as an example, and it's sore for the person and feels kind of crunchy inside, and then you work it. Do you feel that in your practice when you're doing the reflexology, and that's part of the whole counseling session, Do you feel that when you're working those, that you're not only working the physical, but you're also working like the emotional and the spirit, then the mental and spiritual aspects as well?
Yes, for me that's fascinating.
Type of therapy. That's kind of ancient Egyptian, I would have to say.
It is. The first depictions of reflexology were around 4,000 BC in Ura in Egypt. So, it has got ancient roots, and it was first depicted in Egypt.
So I guess shoes are important, aren't they?
Yeah, our feet carry us through life, and we really do need to love and take care of them. Here's another great little party trick, when you're maybe having dinner or having some drinks with friends. Ask them to tell you how they feel about their feet. If they were to describe how they feel about their feet, what would they say? Because that is a great way of finding out who they truly are and what's really on their mind, what's really going on for them.
Oh, you could burglarize their brain on that one, huh?
Yeah. It's so interesting. You'll ask a lady, how do you feel about your feet? And she'll say, I really hate my feet. They're just so fat and dumpy and ugly. And instantly they're telling you how they feel about themselves.
Oh, that's an interesting analogy. We don't believe, our physical bodies, some people can say that there are the shell, but they affect us in so many ways because of the world we live in. I would even say judgments, right?
Yeah. Our body is having a conversation with us the whole time. It's whether we can translate it. So, it doesn't take, for me, to read somebody's feet. Actually, their body's having that conversation with them the whole time. It's like we've got a built-in sat-nav. I call it our internal emotional guidance system. And it is just like a sat-nav. If you use a satellite navigation in a car and you plot a destination where you want to go to, if you take a wrong turn, it tells you you've taken a wrong turn and gives you a new route to take. Well, our body is doing that for us the whole time. If we're not being on purpose, our body will tell us. You feel it. You feel it in your gut. You feel it, that uncomfortable feeling even in the solar plexus. If you're on the wrong road, that's your body trying to reroute you. It's trying to, when you're in absolute joy and the heart chakra is open and almost jumping out of your chest and, that you've got that uplifting joy when you make choices or decisions, that's your inner guidance system. Your body is telling you, yeah, you're on the right road. Keep going. So, the body has such a depth of knowledge and communication to give us. And I do believe in my practice that, if we have a spiritual or emotional imbalance that is not being addressed, it will eventually manifest itself physically. And so that's the last resort. The manifestation physically is the last resort. And it's kind of taken a step back to say, okay, where further back from that, what's the root cause of this? Is where is the spiritual imbalance, where is the emotional imbalance that I'm not addressing, that I'm not acknowledging? Because sometimes it can be as simple as acknowledgement to let it go. I'll share a great story from a client I had. Obviously I won't name them for confidentiality, but they have actually given me permission to share this story. I had a young man come to see me. He was referred to me by his mother, and he was in his 20s. He was a burly builder. He worked on the building site. So, coming for reflexology with me was a little bit of a, it's a step out of the norm, shall we say. But he was suffering from terrible anxiety and panic attacks. And his mum said, she'd been to me as a client. She said, please go and see Lisa. I'm sure she can help. And in the first meeting, I took the consultation, I took the medical and emotional history. And, people only tell you as much as they want to tell you. You do ask them and it is confidential. But as I was doing his feet, I noticed that there was a very, very thick ridge of skin around the base of his right big toe, which is the throat area, the throat chakra. And it also relates to males and it relates to the past. And as I was doing his feet, I got this message and I said to him, can I ask you a really difficult question? You can say no. And he said, no, ask away, Lisa. What's the question? I said, I'm picking up that you've lost a male, close male friend of yours in the last 2 years. And he went, yeah, how did you know that? And I said, well, I'm going to ask you an even more difficult question now. And please, if you don't want to answer, that's absolutely fine. You know, this all this hard skin around your big toe, this is your throat area. And I've got a very strong feeling that your friend took his own life and he hung himself. At which point this guy was like, how do you know that? How can you possibly know from my feet? And I said, well, this is the seat of your anxiety. You know, you're carrying this around with you. You can't change it. You know, it was his time and it was his choice and you can't change that and you couldn't have changed that. You know, it was part of his journey. And, you know, once he acknowledged that he had, you know, he was carrying around this, almost like this guilt. He was carrying it around. He was walking around with it physically on his feet. Do you know what? As soon as he acknowledged it, his anxiety and his panic attacks started to dissipate right away. So, as
that's
I say,
fantastic.
Our body tells
that.
Us
that's...
everything we need to know.
That, you know, it's those type of things. It's all the synchronicity everywhere. And you know, that's what makes this universe and our interconnections. It's about getting back with our interconnections. And from what I've been hearing, and this is, you know, these are positive ways to enhance our lives. I mean, people, it's so easy to go down that slippery slope of negativity, but to be able to face these things and, you know, give back. And is that what makes you the positivity expert? You call yourself a positivity expert.
Well, I do believe that, you know, I can have off days. I can have days when I don't feel quite as positive, but, you know, I wake up in the morning and I'm still breathing and I've got this wonderful life ahead of me and I've got this wonderful day full of absolutely amazing juicy moments to make the most of.
Because every day is a new day, right?
Yeah. You can choose. And, you know, some people might be in the depths of depression. You know, I have suffered in the past when I had my daughter. She's going to be 21 this year. I had postnatal depression. So I speak from experience. I know what it feels like. I have been there. But, you know, you can make a conscious choice. Even if it's feel a little bit better than you were feeling yesterday, even if it's that you could, you know, find your two socks that match one another, you know, you can make a choice. Another example is my daughter in 2010 was seriously ill with a heart condition. And yet we chose to be joyful. You know, she had everybody on the ward. She was in hospital for 3 months. Everybody on the ward laughing every day. You know, she was in a really serious health situation. And yet she was bringing joy to everybody else on the ward. And they were all elderly people in the main.
That's probably why she recovered, right?
Yes. That's what I believe. You know, she took the attitude that, okay, so I've got to be here. This is part of my journey. This is part of my lesson. She's had heart surgery since and is perfectly well, I might add. But, you know, she said, obviously, this is part of my purpose. This is part of my journey. I can choose. And she was angry at first. And I did, we had sort of a heart to heart. And I said, you know, she was quite bitter towards the people that were helping her. I guess she was in shock. And I said, you know, can I make a suggestion? If you act with loving kindness towards all those people that are trying to help you, you will get loving kindness in return. And she kind of went a bit quiet, you know, she was a teenager at that time. And okay, and so I said, you know, if you've got to be here, there is no choice. So what you have a choice about is how you respond. You know, you've got a response ability, you've got the ability to choose your response to the situation. How are you going to make the most of this experience, this situation? And, you know, she got all of her applications in for university, all of these things while she was there. And also, you know, she had everybody laughing, she had everybody smiling, be it the patients and the nursing team and the doctors, you know. And she chose her attitude and therefore made a recovery for something that, quite frankly, could have killed her. But, you know, she chose her attitude. And I do think that it goes a long way. You know, even when you're up against it, you can choose your attitude. And if you find it difficult to choose your attitude, if you really find it difficult, then look at the people around you. You know, look, are you surrounding yourselves with what I would say are dream makers or dream stealers. Dream stealers that can be the people who love you the most, those people that kind of say, oh, are you sure you want to do that? Oh, I wouldn't do that if I were you. They're doing it out of fear and they're projecting their fear onto you. They're doing it out of love because they want to protect you. But actually, it doesn't allow you to choose a positive attitude or to be joyful. So, you know, if you look around you and find those people who are the dream makers, those people who are your cheerleaders, your biggest fan, those people who are encouraging you, say, yeah, you can do that. Why not try it? Go for it. You know, try and surround yourself with more dream makers and limit your time, or just acknowledge and thank the dream stealers for their opinion, but you don't have to take it on board. So yeah, there's another couple of tips for you. Surround yourself with dream makers and limit your time with dream stealers.
Well, you know what, this is all so you know, it's so well needed at this time, you know, for I think I can speak for everybody that's listening and for myself as well, to get a little, you know, a little boost here with all this. And we really enjoyed, we're at the end of our interview right now, Lisa. We could talk for hours. I know we could. Thank you so much for being on the show. And we have a great deal of respect for your knowledge. And, you know, we really appreciate you sharing your insights. And we look forward to your new publications and books as well.
Thank you.
So thank you very much, Lisa.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Pleasure speaking to you.
Well, if you'd like more information and to make contact with Lisa Whitehead, you can visit her website at www.getalife-uk.co.uk. And her contact information is also on our guest page at psychicaccesstalkradio.com. I'd like to take a few minutes to make some announcements. Be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We will announce the call-in number later in the show, so be sure to have your pen and paper ready. If you are unable to catch our last week's show on UFOs, you'll find a recorded archive link, as well as archives of all our previous shows on psychicaccesstalkradio.com under the Archives tab. Please feel free to circulate the archives links and future show details with your friends and family. It's our objective to connect with as many of you as possible, so please share the link with others. Please be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com site to learn about everything from the paranormal, reincarnation, to the how-tos of psychic development. If you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and to choose from the list of some of the most authentic, gifted psychics around. It's an honor working with Doug and Psychic Access because of the high expectations required of each psychic. All of the co-hosts here on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com work at Psychic Access, and you would like a personal reading from any of us, be sure to visit us at PsychicAccess.com. We would love to hear from you. And by the way, if you want to make some extra money for site owners and webmasters, you can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to PsychicAccess.com. For more details, visit psychicaccess.com/webmasters. If you like our show, please invite your friends to join us in our chat room and to listen to The Psychic Viewpoint. There's going to be something there for everybody, so please spread the word. We very much appreciate it. Okay, the call-in number, and I'm just going to give it now, but this is for later, is 724-444-4851, and I'm sure Maureen will put it in the chat room. Okay, so my lovely co-hosts, what did you think of the show? What did you think of Lisa's philosophies? Fascinating, weren't they? Maureen?
Well,
Maureen?
Maureen's maybe got a problem with her mic, Brenda, but I thought it was great. I really liked the interview. I loved the wisdom and simplicity of some of the things that your guests shared, such as be in your shoes and be happy in your shoes, and going back to childhood to reflect upon purpose and choosing to be joyful each day, because it does make a difference.
It really does.
I think she was really uplifting. And even, you know, I'm very interested in reflexology. I've had a lot of reflexology and found it incredibly useful, incredibly powerful. So great show, really uplifting, and wonderful that we're having such a great show when we've got this beautiful full moon this evening, Brenda.
I know, the moon is really amazing, and it's a full moon in Scorpio, so it's a time of renewal. I mean, it's not always a you know, an easy renewal, but you know, to keep in kind of in you know, with the flow of the show tonight, look at the positive side of it. You're getting rid of the old. You're dealing with things from the past and purging all this stuff that, you know, all this gunk and, you know, like the seeds of procrastination, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I like to look at it that way.
Absolutely. No, it was a really, really nice show. I really like her a lot. I'm going to check out her website.
Yeah, she was pretty down to earth about, you know, her philosophies. And it was almost kind of, you know, the type of, you know, you'd come almost shamanistic in a way, wouldn't you think? A little shamanistic about, you know, because it was so connected with kind of the earth and that type of philosophy.
And it's funny you say that. There's a Peruvian shaman at the Healing Center this evening. There's a drum circle. And just as I was leaving the office, people were arriving for the drum circle. And I thought, what a great night to do that.
Oh, wow, a drum circle. Of course, a full moon drum circle. I got to tell you a funny story about a drum circle. My daughter was probably, she was 4 or 5 years old, and we went to a full moon drum circle, and there was probably about, no kidding, there was over 25, 30 people there in this drum circle, and they were, you know, everybody was playing the drums. It was getting intense. It was, you know, and then they were, you know, it was very loud, and my daughter fell asleep. In a drum circle.
Well, the energy's intense. It does different things. It can put someone in a trance state. So maybe she was
dead asleep.
Zoning out.
Yeah, it was wild. I mean, we looked at it and we went, wow, that is pretty amazing, you know? So, So Maureen, are you with us now?
Yes, I am. Sorry about that. I was resting. Resting a bit.
Resting on your laurels?
I was resting on... I was kind of feeling a little bit out of it. But yes, it was a really great interview. I really liked her energy, by the way. And you guys were talking about the interview, weren't you?
Yes, we were talking about that. We're talking about reflexology. Have you ever had any?
Well, no, but you know, it's interesting. There was one thing that I caught that was interesting to me because I think she spoke about this of the palm reading, but of the feet.
Yeah.
And when my daughter was born, I was running my business. It was during a time when the 900 line industry first, you know, psychic lines were going on. And one of the girls that was working with me as a reader, she did that. And the first thing, I was just a little thing, you know, of course, a little baby. And she goes right up to her feet. I go, what are you doing? I never thought about it. You know, I just thought palm. And I thought it was so fascinating. I know reflexology, I always connect that with the feet for some reason, but I know it's more than that, but I did want to bring up the palm of the feet, what do you call it? The pads of the feet, the feet padding. Anyway, she read her feet, her little wrinkly little feet when she's such a little thing. And it was amazing what she was saying, but what would you call reading the feet? What would it be called?
There's a name for it.
Yeah, I guess it would be pad. I think
pedimency.
Yeah, she said something about
that. Yeah, pedimency, I think she said. I know that reading the head is phrenology.
Oh, really? I didn't know.
Bumps of the head.
Oh, wow. Going on that subject then. I got one interesting thing going on. Well, yeah. So no, she was. I really liked her energy, and it was a really nice. It was different. It was a different type of. Normally, we have different type of people on. It was a breath of fresh air having her on. It really was.
Well, I think everything happens for a reason, and when I came across her as a guest, I thought, you know, so easy to focus on the negative and nothing's working in our lives and blah, 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 and poor me, poor me. Let's have a positivity expert.
Yeah, that is good.
It's probably pretty hard to, you know, because it felt almost to me like she's talking about you got to live in the moment and appreciate what you have. When we're not, I mean, yeah. Most people don't. They're not living in the moment, and
they're worried
before you
about
know it, the moment's gone, right?
And yes, in their whole life is what life isn't supposed to be endured, supposed to be lived, enjoyed, or whatever too.
Well,
I'm not saying all the time. Yeah, but you know, really, a lot of times people
giddy. But you know, you can at least, you know, the world is full of beauty.
Yes, it is. And you know, and she's, you know, and actually I've been feeling so beautiful lately and a little bit down. And the thing of it is, she's talking, she was very uplifting for me. That's why I lay down. No, it was really good because it was very uplifting, talking about, you know, the child, that stuff, the troll dolls. I forgot about that and things of that nature. And that was nice. That was very nice. I like her. I like her way. I liked her way.
Well, my sister and I used to have troll dolls. We had those big ones, and they're hard rock. We were talking about that. They got that long hair.
Yeah.
And we would swing them around and hit each other with them.
I know. We used to do a whole little thing. We had, there were hundreds of them. We built forts, and I forgot all about that, too. It was really funny.
Remember the little tiny ones that went on pencils?
Yeah, those came later. Those were later ones.
There was small ones and big ones.
Yeah, I remember.
Like different colored hair and.
Yeah, but the 60s, they were hard as. You're right. They were dangerous.
The hands were like straight out.
Yeah. And like I said, I wish I would have kept a lot of those because, you know, it's funny because I didn't play with Barbie dolls. Can you hear me?
I don't think I did either.
Yeah, or, you know, they have those Brat dolls now. My daughter plays Brat dolls, and she started, you know, cutting her hair, doing the style that she'd want for the boys. Anyway, she's going to have a lot of memories from her childhood. But, you know, I don't have, whatever. But the ones I did when I thought about it, she brought that up. I liked her. I really did like her way of the way she is. She does her work. And is she a therapist? Is she a degree therapist?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah.
And she has a healing center, too. She's she actually has a healing center that she works out of. That's her own healing center.
Right. Yeah, she was very positive and uplifting. It was nice.
It was so it'd be nice. Interesting to find out what colors we all are.
Mm. They used to have a book out years ago. I think it was the 70s, and it was a book that it was really it was a paperback, but it was something like you could find your own. It was called Color Therapy, maybe, I don't know, but it was the only book that I had ever seen out on color. And they'd have
a wheel. I think they have
color wheel. Color wheel. I did it in the corporate world. They have blue, which is for detail. Yellow. Mine, and then we had to have written down what our profiles were based on the colors. And mine was be detailed, be brief, be gone.
Be like,
oh, that's
far away.
Or it's like be precise, be brief, be gone. Because I like to crank through things.
No,
funny.
I do remember that. Yeah, that's the book I'm talking about.
It's Color Wheel, I think.
Yeah, it was Color. Yeah, whatever happened to that? I'm gonna try to find.
My favorite, I said in the chat room. My favorite's the Enneagram. The Enneagram is amazing for understanding personality. And
what's that?
Oh, the Enneagram's a personality profiling tool. I use it a lot with clients, and I use it in a number of my self-development workshops. It is the most powerful psychometric tool that I've discovered to date. It's incredibly accurate for understanding personality because your personality type's fixed by the time you're 4 years old.
Mm-hmm. It absolutely is.
So unless you're schizophrenic, you know, unless you're mental illness.
Well, it is, the good thing about the diagram is it shows you different levels of functioning, and it does go down to extremely dysfunctional levels of.
Well, how does it work?
I mean, yeah, how does it work? How do you do it? What does it do?
Well,
how
do you... you answer a questionnaire, and it then tells you your personality profile.
Oh, you know, you spoke about that before. Was it? I think you did. How important? So you use it with your clients, your private clients, and So you start with, "Excuse me, I'm going to be taking a profile."
Also, do you give them a clipboard and they have to fill it out?
No, I don't use it. I use it with corporate clients a lot. And right. To be honest with you, though, if I'm working with a corporate client, I do start with the more conventional tools. Right. I will start with personality profiling and things like that. But I have to say, when you go on to advanced astrology, even if they're not aware of it, they say, "Oh, this is really deadly accurate." And I say, "Yeah, we've moved on to Hermetic astrology now." And even if they're skeptical about metaphysics, they become open to it just because of its accuracy.
Yeah, it's becoming a safe and sound type of thing.
Where do you get the questions? I mean, is it like a, is it like, what is
it? For the Enneagram, you go to the enneagraminstitute.com. I don't think anybody should be living without it. I think it should be done in schools. It's one of the things that should be done in schools. So you go to the enneagraminstitute.com, pay the $10 to do the good test. It's called the full RETI test. And then order the book from Amazon by Riso, R-I-S-O, and Hudson. And you'll be set. It's brilliant. You'll love it.
That's interesting.
Very valuable tool. It's very valuable in when you're looking at dynamics between different people as well. So again, being in a relationship, if you're without the Enneagram, there's a lot of insight you're missing.
Powerful. Sometimes you don't want to know.
Well, I believe that the more we know ourselves, the more self-actualized, the more purposeful and joyful we can become. So for me, it's a very important tool. And as I said, there's a lot you can develop in yourself, but you can't change your personality.
This is really true. And people have this misconception, especially, you know, a lot of women who meet men, and they are always asking, they're in their, you know, whatever's going on in the relationship. Well, is he going to change? And I want him to change. Is he going to change? And, you know, no. A person is who they are. You have to accept them who they are, and that's where I see where finding out what their personalities, you know, would be, and their personality profile would help, because then you wouldn't have to go with somebody that you know is unacceptable to you in the beginning, right?
Yeah,
well, yes.
I think there's a lot you can do with yourself.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You can modify your behavior.
Yeah, but I remember my last partner, when I raised some issues, he looked at me and said, "Well, I'm not going to change anything about myself. Don't expect me to work on it."
He wasn't
myself.
Willing to. He wasn't
yeah.
willing to.
But he could have modified something.
He said, "I'm always going to be this way. Don't expect me to address any of these issues or change. This is how I am. I will always be this way. Take it or leave it." And that's when you have a real challenge, when you do a lot of work on yourself and somebody else refuses to develop their self-awareness and work on themselves.
Or be open to it.
That's a real challenge.
Or even be open to it. Then that's not the person for you, because that means they're in a place of fear, because their fear is they can't lose control of certain aspects of their personality.
They don't get what it actually means. You don't want someone. You don't want to change somebody. You want them to be their best selves. Or
yeah.
you wish you're as you would for yourself. Want them to see how wonderful it would be to do
and,
that.
And you see this in dynamics with clients that are in relationships, when one of them has done a lot of inner work or spiritual development and the other hasn't, there's often a gap that develops between them.
Yes, there is.
Well, they get on a different road.
Yes.
And that's what they, well, they just go to the next person. Or they stay with the, well, you know, who am I to say I'm not in a relationship, nor do I want to be, but I'm not negative tonight, I'm just being really upfront. But, you know, the thing of it is with, you can get to a higher vibrational self, definitely. Anybody can, if they desire to. If there's a desire to, or a lot of people, you know, maybe, you know, I often think about this, perhaps, well, because a counselor of mine told me a long time ago about my family, you know, just love them. They're not capable at this time of grasping hold of what you're trying to convey or communicate or have a connection with them in a certain way or whatever. And I had to accept that. That was pretty hard because I didn't understand, well, why not? I am, but that's just the way it goes.
I think that you brought it a good acceptance is important.
Yes, very much so.
We don't, you know, if you can accept it without wanting to change it, and just like Steve's partner didn't want to accept any change, so Steve shall find somebody a lot more wonderful, right, Steve?
Well, I'm sure he's wonderful.
They're cats.
I'm sure he's wonderful, so it's not a criticism of him. But I've learned the hard way how important compatibility is. And I say this to clients over and over and over again. You don't want to find a partner. You need to find the right person. There has to be spiritual compatibility, physical compatibility, and intellectual compatibility. And in my view, those are the three ingredients in a relationship. And I've been in relationships where I've been very attracted to the person, but you learn over time that there has to be a spiritual and intellectual connection as well. And I you just see the train wreck coming when you hear a client say, oh, I've met somebody and, you know, I'm going head on into this, when you can feel they're just wanting to or needing to be with somebody rather than reflecting upon who they are and choosing to find somebody that they can really have a wonderful and harmonious relationship with. There's a big difference. And I've learned that the hard way through mistakes in relationships.
And also everybody's timing is different. You may find a soulmate in your 20s and you're married to them for life. It may be that your fate is to find somebody later in life. Everybody's timing is different. I fully believe that. And there's just so many, you know, reasons for that. Not only karmic reasons, but, you know, things that we have to find out about ourselves before we can open ourselves up for the right reflection. Don't you agree?
Yeah,
my mind is not even at the top of any list or on my bucket list for that. So I really don't. Is that cynical? No,
it's
not.
No, it's not cynical. It's not. You know, it just depends on where you are in life. Because, yeah. I mean, I have a very close friend of mine, and she has been divorced for something like 11 years, and she has no desire to meet anybody ever again, and she likes her life the way it is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like I know I'd rather have it long distance or someone that was gone most of the time. I do.
Are you gonna have a love affair via chat?
Oh, you know what though? I haven't gotten into that because that's a new technology and I haven't been really interested. I'll tell you guys something. That's really getting to me nowadays. When I'm talking to people, hear me out, everybody. I don't get it. You know, I call it sexology or whatever, because people are in relationships that are just like,
it's called sexting.
Yeah, sexting, and a lot of times they don't even talk on the phone even. You know,
they just meet each other. Forget about
talking. They haven't even
relationship by texting.
And then I hear, I've been in a relationship for like a year, but oh, and you get to the end of it. Well, I've never met him.
Okay. Never even spoken to him on the phone.
You know, like, okay, now that is disturbing in itself. So maybe I'm not. It's what my choice has been isn't so bad. because that to me is not really a good, that's not connecting with somebody.
Even if maybe if you talk to them on the phone.
Yeah, exactly. The phone would be.
You would have some sort of connection with
exactly.
them.
Exactly. You would hear the as far as the voice go. I agree with that. But it's that's one thing about this technology stuff, which I love the technology. Look at, we're here right now. We can read for people all over the world and
but it has
everything.
Its downside too.
Exactly. And that's, I feel, is one of the biggest ones is exactly that. I mean, it's funny how we can be so connected from it, but so disconnected from in relationships. So, yeah, this, you know, my mother is now, in fact, I crack up because my mother, she just turned 83 years old a few days ago, and she, you know, has her iPhone. But not only that is, I noticed that she, now, I send her an email, email, and she will not, now she sends me a text message instead of emailing me back. Whereas before,
cute.
I said, well, oh, it's funny, but she's a Facebook queen too. She's on there till 3 in the morning. And she's like, she's going to be one of the, I guess there's, you know, whatever. But she's, but it's, I think it's great for her to do that because of her age. It keeps her, you know, her mind going good. But still, it was cracking me up because I'm like, I was cracking up myself because I rather text and get things over with my family and stuff. But, or my daughter, you know, I mean, I talk to my daughter on the phone, but, you know, really when it comes to people like, you know, your family, text this, text that. And I'm not talking about being in a relationship, everybody, like I just said, it's just not a good idea to be doing that. But my mother, I go, well, I guess I didn't hear from you, so I'm not going to be seeing you for your birthday dinner. And, unbeknownst to me, she'd already, you know, texted me the day before saying, yay, she's looking forward to us, like letting her have it.
Oh, funny.
It was funny. And I go, well, I didn't check a text from her. Yes, it was those darn iPhones. No.
Well, now you can do the voice to text, and so you don't even
I know you can. Well, mine is not as good as hers. She's, yeah, well, I got a call.
Hey, Maureen, you have a call.
Yeah,
from Massachusetts.
Yeah, I like Massachusetts. Hi, Massachusetts. I can't say it very well. Hi, Mass. How are you doing? Hello?
Hello?
Hi, this is Maureen. Who am I speaking to?
This is Karen.
Hi, Karen. And what can I help you with?
I probably have a million questions, but... Okay, do you need, like, a specific question to...
Yeah, it's better if we, because of our time, you know, on the show, it's easier if you could just do one direct question so I can focus on that. It'll be better for you as well because of the time involved. I wouldn't be able to get to everything.
Okay. Let me see. I am looking for a new place to move to, and I just wondered if you got anything on that or whatever else.
Okay, Karen. All right. Well, you know, actually, this, what I'm getting is it's really a fair, it's really fair and just that you do this move, and whatever that means for you, I don't know if I can say exactly why, but there's a sense of justice for your move, meaning it's fair, it's time, but you're also, it looks like you're feeling, you know, is. You definitely is the time, but it looks like there's a little bit of frustration. You have it doesn't look like you've been real happy yet. It's finding what you really want. I don't see any problems as far as financially being able to do this, and but there's some judgment coming from other people about where you should be moving or where you should go or moving towards or buying or whatever. Was there a particular place also that you felt that you really or a home or are you looking to buy a home?
No, not right now.
Okay. Well, you know, I do see that is going. I see that very soon ahead. In the month, well, let's put it this way, like within into November, I feel that you're going to be in a good position to be able to buy a place. So maybe that where you're going to move, you know, it just looks like maybe you haven't found the right place and you thought you did and you weren't able to get it. And I feel you're juggling a little bit two situations on something. Do you know, some people want to move somewhere and they don't know exactly where or what kind of place. Do you have in your mind, in your, you know, vision of where you can see yourself living?
Oh, you mean to where to move to, you mean? Is that what you said?
Well, like, you know, when we move, we want to look at a certain place where we want to move to in our mind. You know, it would be ideal, you know, when you look for a place to move. Or is it just that you need to just move anywhere? Because what I'm feeling is it's really important that you move somewhere where it's where you, by choice, that you really want to be at instead of opposed to the other way I just said. So, you know what I mean? Whereas people, you know, right. they're looking for a place to live. It'll be, anything will do type of thing.
Right.
With you, I feel that it's more important just not be that. It'll be somewhere that you really want to be living and staying. And it's really important. And I think it's a fair thing, like I said, right now, for you to be able to do that. Do you know, a lot of times we do go that. We feel like we have to get somewhere. We find the first place we get, and we move in there. And that is really sad when that happens for somebody because, you know, it just seems like everything is always like that. It's always like not by choice. For you, I feel that may have gone on before, but right now I'm getting that it's really important for you to focus on what is the – I don't see any problem with you moving, but I do, like I said, I see you juggling around, and when you juggle, you're not going to get attention in one or the other. So if you've been looking for a place, that would be the first thing. You asked me, do you see you moving soon? Have you been out researching, looking, and applying, or – have you really taken it?
Yeah.
Okay. And I would suggest going for something that feels really right. Not for what everybody else thinks is more appropriate. This is to be the best place, this location or whatever. Even if it's close, not closer to work, somewhere where it really feels right. Like you walk in and it feels right for you. And I do feel that you're definitely heading that direction. It looks like it's kind of can be, you know, kind of you want to do it, you know, sooner than the other. But I feel within the next 5 weeks, I feel that you're going to be somewhere, if you choose to do so, that you really want to be in a place. And it'll be a place where you can feel like you're getting the sense of deeper meaning of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
Where we all, it would be nice to have a comfortable place to be going into. And you're moving alone?
No, with my two children.
They're older adults. So they could, okay.
They're like 18 and 23.
Okay, so, yeah, I feel that, like, you know, it's, you know, I see within, I think I said within 4 weeks, I forget when I say things, it comes out of my mouth. Yes, I see finding a good place, but there will be some negative judgment with people. Like I said, maybe some people will say that that's not a good place. Whatever the energy, it's real important, the energy feel really good when you go into a place and you feel it out. It really does, it does make a big difference. So, yes, I definitely see you finding a really great place, and also a place that you might be able to buy later, one that would be later available for sale. Same place, so you wouldn't have to move again. You're on the right track. It's good timing.
Yeah. Well, that sounds good.
Well, I just affirmed everything you knew. So, don't settle just for the first place you think you should be moving to. There's something else. You know, it's almost like a third place I see that it will be it. It will be the third, a third one that you look at, or you go back the third time. It's going to be the one. It looks like there's water around it. So I hope I helped you or shed some light. Okay, thanks, Karen. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Maureen.
Sure.
Steve, you have a call from Massachusetts.
Thank you. Who's calling from Massachusetts?
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. What's your name?
Oh, hi. Yeah, my name is Dave. I'm
hi,
in Massachusetts.
Dave.
Hi.
How can we help, Dave?
Hi. This is not really a question about me. It's kind of a question. I'm trying to pick some information off of you. Basically about your knowledge. Okay, this is my question. Now, I'm very empathic. I'm a tarot card reader, and I've been doing a lot more mediumship. My question is, and it's just totally stomping me, is when I'm giving a reading, now I do lots of readings online and stuff, so I get real nervous when I'm actually like in front of the person and I block myself. But my question is this. I get confused because, you know, I don't know if I'm actually reading the answers from the person's aura, okay, or using some type of, ESP or something like that. I mean, how do I really, really know if I'm actually talking to the other side, okay? And the reason why I ask is because, you know, the subject or the quant, okay, they already know all the answers because they've already been in the situation. So they know the answers, they know the environment, they know the situation. And I'm stumped, and I would just like to get your opinion on that.
Well, they don't know all the answers, because if they did, they wouldn't be coming for a reading. So don't invalidate what you have to offer. They come because they seek guidance, and if you're practicing mediumship, they seek evidence of the afterlife. Now, there are different forms of reading. There's psychic reading and mediumistic reading. Now, when you're connecting with somebody psychically, and we're all psychic, animals are psychic, it's part of nature. But when we're reading somebody psychically, it's quite progressive energy. So you could sit with me and read, you know, give me insight about myself and my life and carry on and give me more. And it's a progressive flowing reading. The pace of the insight is slower, hence progressive. So you pick up on something and then something else and something else. When you're functioning mediumistically, you'll find that the pace of the reading is much faster. In other words,
what happened?
Steve.
I'm still here.
I know you, Steve. Steve phased out into la la la.
I don't know. I know it's a tough question. I really do.
I don't think he phased out because of that. he was the best guy for you. Got a great reader. What you called about too, and because Steve articulates well and also is very good. Well, yeah, that was interesting. I don't know.
We don't know what happened to him.
We're trying to get him back. Is what we're here. We hear from our executive producer.
Yeah, we're trying to get him back.
Oh, he kind of like, yeah, he faded out into the
ethers.
Yeah.
Wait, you know, I've actually searched for the answer. I've listened to most of the archives, so I love you guys. You guys are awesome. And I've asked my spirit guides, I've asked my angel. I mean, I just keep on coming up with the same answer, is that I'm reading the person. Even though I tell them things to verify about people on the other side. But then again, it isn't something that they don't already know. So, I can do all the above. Now, the only thing I figured out is that if I'm maybe out in the environment or I'm somewhere where the person is not present, okay, because sometimes I can feel them. Like, for example, I may know that I'm going to do a reading that night for some reason, okay, so I feel them coming. The information, that's been the closest I could come to an answer. I don't know. I'm just stumped.
I think you're very good at what you're doing. And I feel, I don't know what Brenda's thoughts
are,
but I feel.
Is Steve back?
I am. Sorry. My computer shut off on me.
That's interesting. Okay. Never mind. Go on, Steve. Continue on.
Yeah, well, what I was saying is when you're reading mediumistically, the pace is much faster. So the vibration, as you ascend through the realms from the physical to the astral and then above to the spiritual, the pace is much faster. The frequency is much faster. The vibration is higher. And for that reason, information is transmitted to you far more rapidly. So When you're reading psychically, it's progressive. And when you're reading mediumistically, you can receive a huge amount of information all of a sudden. It's like a drop of water just hits the floor and it contains an inordinate amount of information. So you can tell which way you're reading partly by the speed of it. And then the other true sign of mediumship is when you're telling the client something that they don't know about themselves, or that they don't know about the person that's communicating from spirit. So if you're able to give them evidence of the person in spirit, then you are extending definitely beyond beyond that person, that client psychically. You're extending upwards to the spirit world, whether it's the astral or the spiritual plane above. So there are ways of knowing how you're getting your information. The other thing I would say to you is there are different forms of mediumship, and your mediumship is telepathic. And yeah, telepathic mediumship is a wonderful form of mediumship. It can be extremely powerful and evidential, very insightful. But do remember that it can feel surreal. You know, it's not like you've necessarily got somebody standing there talking to you and you're relaying what they're saying. So these are impressions in your mind and it feels surreal. But don't let that bother you. The litmus test is the accuracy of the evidence you're delivering. And then the other thing I would say to you is you're working very much in the right brain. So if you're doing tarot as well, you're really using the right hemisphere of the brain, which is the feminine receptive feeling side of the brain. And you can also use the left hemisphere, which is the analytical. That's why I'm a big fan of astrology, because I'm a psychic medium, but I also use Hermetic astrology on at times. And I like it because it's analytical, it's statistical, it's research-based, and it's left-brained. And I feel that when you do that, you're building the corpus callosum between the left hemisphere and the right hemisphere. And the answer to your question is the Church of Light. If you want to be the best of the best in your field, I'll look up the Church of Light on the internet and work through their very demanding but outstanding metaphysical programs. They generally don't encourage mediumship, and that's the one thing that I don't concur with. But if you want the best metaphysical education, do the Church of Light distance learning programs first. But trust your mediumship. And remember that we have to wrap up and go to the next reading, but I want to say to you, remember that your need to perform is your ego. We want to be right. And the best way to improve your mediumship is to let go of your need to perform. So I teach mediumship and I say to my students, this is not about your ability to be right. This is about just serving spirit. And I tell you, 70% of what you deliver, you will never know if you were right or not, because clients don't sit there and verify everything you said. You have to connect with spirit and trust. And also, I would say, though, survey your clients. My private clients receive a survey and I ask them for insight. So I hope that, and I've given you a lot there. I've spent more time than I should have, but I hope that helps.
Yes,
look
at
the Church of Light
and
listen back to the archive for the show, because I've given you there a quite a good snapshot of what I've learned. And I wish you the best. You've got great ability. Just go for it. Serve spirit.
Awesome.
And help people.
I love you guys. Thank you.
Take care. Bye.
Thank you, Steve. Okay, I have a call from California. Hi, California.
Hello.
What can I do for you this evening?
Hi, Brenda. It's Helena.
Hey, Helena. All right. What can I do for you this evening? What would you like to know?
I'm calling to find out how my new job is going to go. I haven't started it yet, but I'm going back to the prison. For this time, it's with men instead of women. So I just want to get a feel of how it's going to turn out for me.
Let's take a peek here. It's so great to hear from you, and I was so glad to hear that you got a job.
Yeah, me too.
You know what? This is going to go surprisingly well. I mean, there'll be some challenges in the beginning. There really will, but I feel that there's going to be a lot more respect and camaraderie than you did with the women. That's what I see. You
Okay.
could carve out a niche here, and you're going to actually overcome some problems that they had with another person who was in your position before.
Okay.
It looks like this is a good place for you to kind of hang out for a while. It looks like it's when I the finances look good with this. They look steady. They look steady, and they look like they could actually increase, or you could, get to some new levels. One of the things that I'm seeing through this is you are going to advance some of your training through this, and they may even pay for it or encourage you to. This looks like a really, you landed something that's close to your heart. You just don't know it yet. And some of the men that you're going to be working with, they really need a person like a mentor. And I want to say like a mother, but kind of like a mother that they never had. And that's no reflection on age or anything, but I hope you understand.
Yeah, I do. I
And
do.
that's where I feel that there's going to be a unique, niche for you more than at the woman's prison. It just feels like, they're needing the feminine energy.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome, honey. Good luck to you. Well, we'll see you
Thank you.
soon.
I hope so. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks for that.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. Maureen, we have Mississippi for you.
Hey, everything's in the M's for me. Well, so far, Massive. Hello, Mississippi. Missippi. How are you?
Hey, I'm
Hi, what's
fine. How
your
are you guys?
Fine, thanks. And what's your name?
Elena.
Oya, Oya. I hope I said it right. Hi.
Elena.
And what can I help you with?
Well, I was hoping that I would be able to connect with a loved one that recently passed away.
Okay, I'll see what I can do in that and that. Okay, is this a parent or
Yes, it was my dad.
your father? I'm sorry to hear that. It's hard, no matter how old they are. Okay, was it? Yeah, it was. Was is it been in the recent months?
It was December.
December.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I honestly feel that there's it's like you have you can't you you I feel that there's like a hand that's coming from above, and I'm going to just use, symbolically say heaven, so that when I say the above, and but it's something, and it's there's so much love at this that's being offered, but you're not looking up to see it. You're not, and I'm not saying you're doing that consciously on purpose or anything like that, but there's been so much commotion around you, and not just, I'm not talking about the grieving process and in addition to that, but there's been a lot of things I see that's been going on, like in things it's been in havoc. And of course, with your father's death, you were very close to him. I feel obviously, were you the closest to him as a daughter out of the daughters?
Well, I was actually a stepdaughter. I was the
But
only
you,
daughter he had there.
oh,
But
okay, but
raised
he
me since
was
I
your
was two.
father. You were the only daughter he had, that there was, but you were his real daughter, as I'm concerned, as far as you're concerned. My feeling is this: that he is. It's like he. I don't know, it's not that I feel he's hanging around. He's crossed. He's gone. He's gone to exactly where he should go, which is a lovely place. He's gone, and I always look at it this way. He packed. He had to go on a trip, a business trip, and. I honestly feel. Are you a mother? Are you a mother, by the way?
No, and that's another thing I was curious about.
Okay.
If
I
that
mean,
was
even though
true.
I can only go on one question at a time. Well, I just want to tell you, I honestly feel that your father is surrounding you, and if you can focus on and be still and be in the voice of silence, you'll feel it. Even if you're not able to see it right now, you'll feel him. I mean, really, you will. I know a lot of people say that and everything, but and you wonder, but you can feel it. And he's and I do see that he'll be with you along the way. I do see you becoming a fantastic mother and having children of your own. And that's something that he always love to know about, especially you being his only daughter. And that's, I'm not going to use the word stepdaughter, just daughter. And that you have been somewhat in some untraditional relationships, which he was fine, but he's going to be quite, he'll be dancing at your wedding, but he just won't be in this physical plane. Let's put it that way. And I do feel there's so much love there. He accepted you every which way. And I'm really sorry to hear about that. Are you doing okay?
I mean, you know, the best I can be, but I mean, I'm doing it.
It's hard. And don't be upset if you're supposed to. If someone says, "Oh, you know, everything will get better," you don't want to hear that. It doesn't matter. It could take. It's suggesting to him being gone, and not being there, and it will. And it will, may not, it's going to be a while. But, you know, I do feel him around you. And I know that you felt it before, but you're blocking it out a bit, which is normal. Because your grief. And I suggest that you try to talk with somebody or something that you feel. Because I see you kind of being alone in this, the way you feel. Not being able, you know what I mean? To connect with somebody or some, even in a group online or something. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't reached out to anyone, so.
Yeah, I mean, and it's really important you do. It's hard. It. Don't isolate yourself off. It'll be very hard. And I can identify with it, with your loss. I don't even like to say loss, because it's more than that. Because my father too, and I was very close to him when he died, and I'm still really having a rough time. But it's okay, and that's okay, and no one can tell me otherwise. So it's okay when you feel that way and you're not going, it's okay. You know, be nice and kind to yourself, okay?
Okay.
Definitely.
Thank you very much.
He loves you very much, and you can feel it. And when it's time to look up and see it, it will be the time. It's lovely. Okay. Bless your heart, and I wish you well.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Maureen. That was very nice.
Well, it hurt, you know how I am feeling about my dad. So.
Yeah, and that was apropos that she called and talked to you.
Yeah, I guess it's funny how things happen.
I know. Steve, you have a call from Utah.
Thank you. Who's calling from Utah? Hello, Utah? Can you hear me there, Utah?
Oh, yeah. Hi. This is Patricia, and I'm calling from Salt Lake City.
Hi, Patricia. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
Good.
I was just calling because I've been with my boyfriend now. It will be 5 years in August, and we've had some issues in the past, and something recently has just come up with trust issues and things. So I just want to know what you see.
Okay, let's see. Okay. I feel that this could work, but I feel that you've got to be really firm about your expectations when it comes to trust. I'm a great believer in us having a responsibility towards each other and us needing to show each other through our actions and our words that we are safe and we can be trusted. And I know that you're very loving, you're also very creative, and you've invested a lot in this relationship. I know that there have been financial worries, and I know that he is really having to work very hard, and that's a concern, but that doesn't excuse anything else. I feel it can work, but I feel that you need to decide in the next 6 months. I feel as that really you need to be strong and say, look, I want this to work. I want us to be together. We've invested 5 years. And I feel that we need to take the next 6 months to really show each other how wonderful this relationship can be. And I need to know that I can trust.
Okay.
And if we can make this really great in the next 6 months, then good. If not, then we'll need to take our own directions. So I don't want to say to you that the relationship's really in trouble. I don't want to say to you that it's definitely safe. My guides say, give it 6 months, but firmly state your expectations now for these coming 6 months. And you've got to be strong. You've got to stand by those expectations. And if you find that you can't trust, then you have to stand by what you said, which is that if it doesn't work, you go your own way. But I tell you this, there will be a happy marriage for you. I can't promise you it's this relationship, but I know that there's a happy marriage. And I know that the month of February will be very celebrated in your future.
So, okay.
You're not ready to fully commit for eternity in this relationship. You're not ready to walk away, but you need to put a stake in the ground and you should give it 6 months to see if you can meet each other's expectations. That's what I feel.
I guess I was more concerned if, like, he's lying to me.
I feel that I don't feel that he's being honest about finances.
Okay.
Is he lying to you? I don't feel that he's being completely honest, let's say.
Okay.
But he's excusing himself because he doesn't consider it dishonesty. So you've really got to question your views and his views on integrity. And as I said, you need to give it some time to allow him to prove to you that he can be trusted.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome. Wish you the best. Lots of love.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Steve.
He articulates that so nicely. You know what he
That
says.
Was lovely.
Heavenly.
Lovely.
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 Lovely, darling.
Rah, rah, fa, fa, fa.
Steve, could you tell by the dialect, well, different, because in England or UK,
yes.
It's so different. You could. I was going to ask
yes.
about that.
That's the fascinating thing about the UK is you can drive five miles down the road and there's a different accent.
I know. It cracks me up. And I was thinking about that when she was talking. I go, I bet Steve knows that. Well, maybe he had an idea. Maybe. Yeah, it is. There's so many, many. You're right. Just like from one little town to the next little town.
Yeah, it's incredible.
It was really interesting because that other guest that I had from the UK, the guy who did the Reiki, he had a very thick. He was from Liverpool, I think.
Well, Liverpool is that.
And it was excellent. It's lovely. They have amazing humor. My parents are from Liverpool.
Yeah, and it was very thick, and hers was very. Hers almost sounded like South African in a way or something.
She wasn't from Kent. She wasn't from Kent, though. I know. Sorry. But, you know, I had these people. I didn't know how you guys were in the UK. You're so anal about your, that accent. You're not from our area.
We're very snobbish
so
about accents.
So snobby. Oh, they're the living
poor. Well, isn't it the one that where they're dropping some of the letters, the Cockney one that's supposed to be like a.
Yeah, that's the Bobby accent.
Yeah.
So what?
Morning. When he tries to impersonate me. Oh, my name's Steve. How are you? Right there.
Oh, that's the Bobby one. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that's not quite the Liverpoolian, but the Liverpoolian. Oh, my gosh. Those people. In fact, that's where I'm thinking about, moving for a while. Well, yeah, but it's interesting because when I met some people, they were just snobby as heck. When, I don't know, I met these other people, and we were at Grand Canyon. I was having a great time, and they got enough. She goes, I'm not going anywhere with that other woman. And if you invited her to, because she's from this part of, I was in my 30s, or I was in my late 20s. I go, what are you talking about? I had no clue what these people were. And the one from that was in a higher level, she didn't have a problem, but the other one who wasn't, I guess, Steve, how they do it, if they're more of a commoner dialect is what somebody I hear say, that sometimes, just snobbery. They don't want to spend the time. I thought I was on the Magical Mystery Tour with these people. And I go, is this really for real? You people are like this? I mean,
the same is that how we view these people like from down south.
But we don't do it like them, Brenda. Come on. I mean, and their ears are so keen to eat.
Well, redneck dialect.
I don't call redneck dialect.
I live with it. I live in Tennessee, so I hear it.
I know.
It's fascinating.
But it's not like it's.
I love
not,
it when people say yuns. Like yuns is.
Yuns.
Yuns is vehicles.
I find that I do that too when I've been talking to a lot of my friends that I've gotten to know. And I go, are you all? And I go, oh my gosh, I'm sorry, y'all.
Do they say fixin' down there? Is that only Texas?
Huh?
Do they say fixin', like I'm fixin'?
Yeah,
to
I'm fixin'. I'm fixin' to. I don't know how you voice it. I'm fixin' to go out.
I'm fixin' to take your wife.
I'm fixin' to get biscuits.
We're not making fun of anybody, but Steve obviously has been used to this because he lives in.
I love it. I have a friend, Rhonda, in Georgia, and she's got a very deep accent. She is the most wonderful person. She's wonderful. I love all different kinds of people. You can meet people that are wealthy and successful and not really feel a connection. You can meet somebody that's really down to earth, that has very little, that's just a wonderful, wonderful person. I don't.
Well, it's a fine, it's a.
The diversity.
It's one way of looking at it. There's a man that lived a rich life, and there's a man that was rich or a man that lived a rich life, whatever. So it doesn't really matter if they're enriching your life. So Steve, we'll excuse the UK problems that you guys have.
I am uplifted by this show. It's getting out of my doldrums.
Yes,
it's fun.
I take life so seriously. My mother used to tell me when I was a kid, you're so serious all the time.
I've learned to lighten up,
Yeah, but you and Steve both are Capricorns, but you guys are very deep people and more than people know. So I know.
Well, speaking of Steve, it's your show next week. Tell us a little bit about that.
It is, yes. We've got a show about mediumship. Our guest is John Lilac, and we'll be discussing mediumship, so it will be a lot of fun.
No, that will be a lot of fun. Okay, well, this brings us to the end of another fantabulous show.
Flew by.
I know, it absolutely flew by.
Yeah, as I took a nap. Yes, it did. And
so go ahead,
No, I just want to say thanks, everybody, for coming to the chat room. We love interacting. And please bring your pets with you next time. And your parents and everybody, and people from England and all the South, too. Everybody's invited. We like lots of people in the chat room. It was a great show, Brenda. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I enjoyed it too. Well, goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Good night.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.